Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Ron Reardon. I'm joined in the studio by producer Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ron. Big show today.
That's right. We're going to have a return visit of Edie Tochin. And, Lee, on Launch, we feature innovators and entrepreneurs in related industries, providing our listeners with the opportunity to learn from the successes and failures of launching an idea and the journey that follows. This morning, we're featuring Edie Tochin and Don Debelak in their new book, Sourcing Smarts, Keeping It Simple and Safe with China Sourcing and Manufacturing. But before we get started, Lee, could you thank today's sponsor?
Sure. Our sponsor today is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your innovation and connecting you to the resources you need for success.
Okay. Well, we're having a return visit by Edie Tochin, who's known as the Sourcing Lady, and our partner in crime, Don Debelak, who's got the one-stop invention shop. Welcome to the show, Don and Edie.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you guys have got a new book out. Which one of you want to start talking about the sourcing smarts?
Okay, the sourcing part?
Yeah, the sourcing
Don,
smarts.
We could reverse roles here. It's up to you.
No, go ahead, Edie.
Okay, all right, sourcing smarts. Well, it is a book about China manufacturing and sourcing and safety issues, hopefully done right. And it's kind of like a guidebook in very, very simple terms.
Okay. And I believe that this is an update of a previous version that's got the new the Product Safety Act covered in there.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of information as updated as possible about the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, which came out in 2008 as a result of all the problems that people have had with product recalls issued by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. But we also have a lot of information about marketing your product once you get it safely manufactured. And that's Don's part. Okay. Do you want to talk about that, Don?
Yeah, basically, what happens is, of course, if you have the product, you have to sell it. And most inventors can really navigate pretty well getting the product, but then they go out to the market and try to sell it, and they run into a lot of problems. And what I try to tell people is that, you know, you should really start your marketing efforts before, you know, you start spending your money, so that when you actually have your product, your patent, and everything else in line, you know you can actually sell the product. And the book really goes over some of the simple steps people can take to, you know, get their marketing lined up before they get started.
Yeah, because what I've experienced, Don and Edie, is sometimes people do things in reverse. I mean, I had one client come to me that had a whole container load of their product being shipped to them from China, and that's when they said that they wanted to get the patent going and to start their marketing efforts. And I was like, I think that's, you know, kind of backwards.
Well, you have the inventors, of course, if they didn't believe in their product 100%, they wouldn't really get started and try to, you know, navigate all the pitfalls. But so sometimes they just run ahead of themselves.
I always say never pre-sell your product unless you have a first order placed and have a delivery date, because all kinds of things can go crazy. It could take up to, you know, 6 months. If you have complications with quality control or testing, you know, lack of raw materials, availability, and so on. There are just so many things that I've seen over the years. So don't pre-sell until you have a delivery date.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, Edie, you and Don are in different spaces. How did the two of you meet and form a relationship?
Oh, okay. I'm having a little difficulty hearing you, but did you say how... Can you repeat that?
Yeah, how did you and Don meet each other and form a business relationship?
Oh, okay. All right, Don, you probably don't remember, unless you want to just jump right in. We met at Impex probably close to 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. What I see as America's largest invention show, held every year in June in Pittsburgh. And we both typically have given seminars, with helpful information for inventors there every year. You want to add to that, Don?
Yeah, no, I just met Edie, and because Edie and I kind of, you know, do different things. I had some of my clients use Edie, and she's had some of my client, her clients use me, where I help them get the product marketed and sold, or figure out what their marketing plan should be, and if the product's even worth spending money on. You know, that's where I kind of focus. And then once they decide they really want to move ahead, then Edie comes in if they want to make the product in China. So we've worked together on that. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time I started with Edie, she did mostly sewing products. Now she's branched it out to all products. So I had some sewing inventions that really, you know, needed Edie's help at the time.
Correct. Yeah, I kind of have branched it out. Basically, I can, you know, work with most inventions. The only products I don't work with are, you know, like a steam engine or an electronics product.
Okay.
You know, anything with special certification like FDA or FCC, I can get it done. I can guide and direct the inventor, but I personally don't handle them.
Right. And, you know, Edie, you've written quite a few articles for Inventor's Digest that I found to be just exceptionally, you know, informative. You know, the first part of your book is called Sourcing Wisely. What are the components of sourcing wisely?
Oh, okay. Well, very important. You have a prototype before you've even manufactured. I mean, of course, you can do it backwards. You know, you've manufactured and you want to check on the product safety. But the best way to start would be to take your prototype in as close to perfection state as possible, with any packaging mock-ups, any labeling that you think might work for your product. But if you really don't know about labeling, that's fine. What you need to do is present the product to a Consumer Product Safety Commission's both accredited and recognized laboratory, and have the product evaluated. It's called a product design evaluation. And that's mentioned in the book. And if anyone's listening today that is interested, I can certainly send some articles on it as well as to how it's done. And the bottom line with this is that the lab will tear it apart. And I don't mean literally, for every possible issue that may pertain to this new Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. And you will come up with what I call a sourcing Bible, which is a report to get you started on manufacturing with all the issues addressed, such as labeling, packaging. Do I need to change my packaging? What production tests do I need to have done on my product? Whether it's done, and by the way, this is a very important thing. It's not only for products made overseas. This Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act pertains to items that are manufactured in the United States as well. And bottom line is you have your sourcing Bible, which is called a product design evaluation, and that will help you begin your manufacturing and address all issues regarding government regulations.
Okay. You know, as I'm looking at the chapters in the book, it also talks about how to find a factory in China. What all is involved there?
Okay. Well, first of all, check references. The best thing to do with that is to ask the fellow inventor, hey, what factory did you use? You know, that kind of thing, if it's a similar type product. Or there are several websites that, such as, they're mentioned in my book, Alibaba, globalsources.com. People can certainly give me a call. But definitely speak with an expert and check references. what type of products does this factory make? Can you see them in retail in the United States? Can they send you some samples, and so on and so forth?
Okay. Well, you know, chapters.
And check the communication, because if they don't speak English well, you're going to have a problem unless you work with a translator.
That's correct. And I guess there's a time zone change also, right?
There's what?
Time. I mean, we're on Eastern time and Central time, but the China time is, what, 12 hours shifted?
Yeah, it depends on the time of year, but they're 12 hours ahead, so that's how I work. This is this is the middle of the night for me, basically, and I'm kidding. I typically work, instead of your typical 9 to 5, I typically work 9 p.m. to about 2 or 3 a.m. Eastern time, because 9 p.m. is 9 a.m. in China, and it just works like that. I've been doing it for so many years.
Okay. You know, Chapter 7 talks about U.S. customs and border protection issues. What all is involved there?
Well, okay, yeah. First of all, you want to know in advance how much import duties to set aside for your product. You don't want any surprises when your shipment comes in. And say you have a shipment valued at $20,000, let's use round numbers, $10,000 coming into Chicago next month. Well, if you have a duty for your product that is 10%, then you need to put aside an extra 10% to pay customs when the shipment comes in. So there is a procedure called a binding ruling, which typically it's done at the beginning, you know, while your product is being manufactured or, you know, while you're sourcing. You take your prototype, and it's mentioned in the book, you take your prototype and you send it on to U.S. Customs with all information, sell sheets, brochures, etc., and you ask the customs to classify your product for duties, which can typically range from free. Toys tend to be free, upwards of 30% duty, which is a steep one, on some textile items. And this way you have, within 30 days, and they'll return your prototype if you like, within 30 days, you know, they'll say, okay, your product is classified under HTS, which is Harmonized Tariff System, number 999, la, 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 blah, 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 at 4%. And you'll know that will be for the life of your product, and you'll know how much money to set aside when your shipment comes in. And that's where customs comes in, as well as clearing your shipment, importing and clearing your shipment for you when the order arrives at the port.
Okay. That sounds cool. I mean, part two of the book is called Marketing Wisely. Don, could you, what all is involved in really being wise in your marketing?
Well, I think the most important thing people have to do is get someone in the industry who can help them. You know, when I started out in the invention business, which was about 30 years ago, this fella invented a new dental chair, and it was a really great product. He had like five dentists use it. It worked well. And what he did then was, well, he said, what am I going to do? How am I going to sell it? I don't know. But what he did is he went around and asked the different dental companies who was the best salesman in the industry. And then when he found, everyone said the same guy's name, he offered him 20% of his company if he would come and take charge of sales. And the guy agreed to do that, and he came in, and within like 3 years, he had the company over $7 million in sales. And I really kind of feel the same approach is appropriate. You know, you're going into an industry, there's many salespeople out there, there's many marketing people who are looking for a chance to be entrepreneurs, and why should an inventor try to, you know, reinvent the wheel, figuring out how to sell his product, when he can, in fact, usually quite easily get a partner who's really experienced in the industry and can get him that first $1 million or $2 million in sales, which really launches the company to where it can really, you know, go somewhere. I guess I used to write a column for Entrepreneur magazine about inventors, and they had this requirement. Every inventor had to have over $1 million in sales before I could cover them. And I wrote about 130 columns over the years, and all types of products, all types of situations, all types of financing that the inventors had. But in every case, they had gotten an industry insider to help them, and that's what really made the company go to work. And I really am explaining in the book just how they can get those contacts. How can they find them? How can they approach them? Because that's really the easiest way for an inventor to succeed.
Well, I mean, that's a tip worth a gazillion dollars right there. Because, you know, from five dental chairs to, you know, multiple millions, that's incredible.
Yeah, he was very, in fact, he's still the number one dental chair supplier, but it was all because he just got a partner who could make it happen, who had credibility.
That's amazing. Well, you know, looking at the chapters in the book, you know, you've got selling the catalog, selling into the gift market, convenience stores, carts and kiosk. Could you talk to us about those different venues?
Well, what happens is when I talk about a venue, like just take the carts and kiosks, every industry works the same way. They have trade magazines and they have trade shows. And these are the avenues that really inventors have to explore to meet their key contacts who can help them. And what happens in a trade magazine, I always, like carts and kiosks, convenience stores, it really doesn't matter what they are. If you get the magazine, they're always full of these new products, you know, other inventors or companies introducing products. And, you know, all people have to do is send away for all of the new catalogs, and they'll find the names of representatives in their area who can work with them and help them get their products out there. And this applies not only just for selling your product, but for licensing your product. I had an inventor, she had a scrapbook product, and all we did is we just sent away to the trade magazine for the scrapbook industry, which is the ones that the scrapbook stores would read. And, you know, we got names of like five or six reps in the area who were selling scrapbook products, and one of them agreed to help the inventor try to license her product. So either way, you know, you need that inside contact so you're not just dealing with you know, companies and their presidents or R&D departments who are very hard to reach.
Okay. You know, Don, I see that your son actually kind of works with you in your business. Could you tell me a little bit about his specialty?
Well, he's very good at, as far as doing the web pages, laying out the design, doing brochures for people. And what's happened is he's gotten very good at finding key contact names at companies. So, for example, if I want to license or sell a product to Gibson Guitar Company, well, you know, if you just go to the purchasing people or you just, you know, approach the R&D or new products people, you usually don't get very far. But if you can get the contacts of the marketing people or some of the local sales people, you know, and find out who they are and how to get a hold of them, you have a much better chance of getting your idea in front of the company. And he's really done well in learning how to do that.
Okay.
And he's a great editor also.
That's super. Well, Edie, I know a lot of concern that most inventors have is that if they have something made in China, that the people in China are going to actually, you know, steal the idea and sell it out the back door. What's been your experience with manufacturers in China?
Well, you know, a lot of the factories that I work with, I've been working with for many years. And they do rely on me and other people that do similar work to me for repeat orders. So obviously if they steal my client's products, I'm not going to send them business. So I've not really had any problems, but they need to work with their attorneys to get as much protection as they can.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that because I think that there's only two kinds of inventors, paranoid and more paranoid. And so,
yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
they
do ask me that all the time, but I do try to be careful with the factories I work with, but anything's possible, so the protection begins in the United States, I believe.
Okay.
But, you know, Ron, that people have to work with their patent attorneys closely, too, because, like, if you're successful in the market, your factory might not steal your idea, but another, you know, it's not unusual for a retailer to go to China and ask somebody to make a knockoff of your product.
Yeah.
And then you as an inventor have to protect your right even from the retailer and work, you know, if you don't, you have to have that strong patent to fight that off, because if you're going to be successful, people will come after you. Even if your factory doesn't, you know, they'll do a knockoff or a number of things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Don, on your website, you know, you've got a real good path for inventors to go through, part of which involves, you know, a product evaluation. Could you talk to us a little bit about the process of evaluating a product of a, kind of a go-no-go?
Well, I think the number one step you really have to look at, first of all, you have to have the competition. You have to realize your product has to be like 30, 40, 50% better than competition for an individual inventor to get into the marketplace. And one of the things I've found a lot with inventors is they kind of take their own experiences and then they come out and make a product that maybe is right for them, but they don't bother to take the time to see what the market in general is looking at. And so I think one is they really should have to get input from other users with a kind of an impartial research panel, which even can be done with friends. You know, as long as you have your product and like five or six other competitive products that people can look at, I found you can get a pretty good evaluation, you know, what people see from your product even if they're friends and families, if as long as you don't like overhype that this one is your product. And the other thing is inventors don't realize is that the distribution channel is the number one really obstacle to overcoming products. You know, you can't really say, oh, I've shown it to people and they're going to buy it. You have to say, I've shown it to the retailers and they're going to put it on their shelves. And the retailers are very, you know, they have a prejudice against one-line inventor companies who they think might go out of business. And so you really have to work hard to establish credibility so that the retailers will take it. That's one of the reasons, you know, I'm always a big believer in getting an industry insider because they give you credibility. But so you want to evaluate the product both in the sense of if the consumers really need it and will pay for it, and also do you have something that's going to let the retailer say yes and put it on a shelf. So I think product I like product evaluations even before people make prototypes or do anything else, because often they just spend their money on a product that will never sell.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You know, having a really good product evaluation at the beginning can save an inventor a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
And Edie, I see that you've got a China sourcing checklist as chapter 10. What are the key items on that checklist?
Can you say that again, please? Again, the connection is not great.
Yeah, chapter 10, China sourcing checklist. What are the key elements of your China sourcing checklist?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, basically, where do you begin? You know, just let me get into my book here because I want to see, okay, China sourcing checklist, and that is, okay. All right. Well, basically, as mentioned, the first step is always the product design evaluation. Unless you are 100% certain that your product is safe, like, for example, a tote bag that, you know, is newly designed that has 14 different pockets and things like that, you know that that's really not going to be a problem. But if it's a baby's tote bag, baby diaper bag, that product has to be evaluated by a lab. Any children's product and many, many consumer products have to be evaluated. There are probably, I think I have about 10 steps in there that range from, you know, the product design evaluation, finance, how to finance your shipment, how to prepare a purchase order, letters of credit versus wire transfers, how to work with a customs broker, you know, the production, quality control, how to prepare the shipment, and how to finally pay for the shipment. See, for example, when you place your order, let's say, again, using round numbers, you have a $10,000 order, you're typically going to place a 30% down payment by wire transfer, and the factory goes into production, and you go through your quality control and testing and all of that. And when the order is ready to ship and everything's been signed off, at that point, you pay, you know, after they present you with the shipping documents as proof of shipment, bill of lading, ocean bill of lading, or air bill of lading, then you transfer the 70% to them from your bank to theirs. And it also includes customs clearance and how that works with the customs broker. So it's kind of like a 10-step final checklist towards the end of the book.
You know, this book can really save new inventors, a lot of time and a lot of money, you know, because
it's... Yeah, we tried. Right, John?
Yeah.
It's really condensed knowledge. It's really super. So how can our listeners get in touch with each of you?
Well, they could get in touch with me by just at the onestopinventionshop.net. If they go to that website, there's all my contact information right there.
Okay, and me, I'm EGT, like Edward Georgetown, EGTglobaltrading.com. Mm-hmm. And my email is indicated on the website as well.
Okay, well, this is really a super book, and I've really been great talking with each of you. Thanks for being on our show today, both Edie and Don. Our listeners have really gotten some great nuggets and learnings that they can use in their launch and their journey, and really save them a lot of heartache, you know, in getting things from China.
Oh, Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay. Another great show, Lee.
A special thanks to today's sponsor, Patents and More, your trusted guide through the innovation jungle.
And tune in each week at this same time to listen live or go to our website at thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com to listen at your convenience. Until next week, I'm Ron Reardon with our producer, Lee Cantor, signing off another great session of Launch.